Hey, everyone. I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed, in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. I am so excited today. I'm here with Warren Zenna, founder of the CRO Collective, and he's going to be the host of a new and upcoming podcast for the Revenue Operations Alliance. And Warren has worked with thousands of CROs, so I am super pumped to pick his brain today. So welcome, Warren. I'm so pumped to have you on the podcast today.
Hey, Sandy. Thank you. Excited to talk. Let's get into it.
Well, sweet. Give me a little bit, just a little bit about your background for our listeners.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm the founder of the CRO Collective. I started this business 5 years ago. I can't believe that. And it really was born out of sort of it wasn't like a real plan, it sort of happened organically through my career. I mostly was selling as a youngster, and again, I fell into that organically too. I wasn't like I was born, I want to be a salesperson. I was a good one. And so when I was selling media, I was selling newspaper advertising when I was in my 20s. And then I got through a number of different, frankly, really, really great serendipitous things. I got some really cool jobs. I started selling much more complex sales in the media space and marketing and advertising space. So I was selling creative services and selling, marketing services and media services. Got me into the agency business where, the agencies are the ones that produce these things. They need clients. I was selling these. And then I was working for companies that were selling more complex offerings, and I developed a consulting style. And in one of the companies I was with a large holding company at the time, Publicis Group, and I started creating a new kind of channel for them where we were consultants. So we weren't really selling advertising and marketing. What we did was we were experts in mobile marketing and mobile advertising. So we were helping big clients become more mobile. What I mean is, think about it. Like the iPhone comes out and I'm Pfizer and I know that like I have to move all my stuff to a mobile first sort of point of view, everything. That transformation was really complicated for big companies to do that. So we helped them. So that's a long story, but I am building that up. And then I started an agency of my own because I was selling marketing services. I still have my agency, by the way. It's a marketing agency. We do quite well, focus mostly on growth advertising, growth marketing. And then I was a buyer at my next job. So I was dealing with the ad tech community and I was selling, I was actually building a product for a big holding company and I had to buy services, technology services. So I was being sold to by all these ad tech companies, all these startups, it was great. So I was learning a lot about the way they sell and being a seller and having run sales teams. It formulated this idea that I had, which was, the left hand and the right hand don't know what they're doing. And most of these companies, you've got sales out there saying one thing, you've got marketing saying another thing. The promises many times are misaligned. You find out the hard way when you become a customer. Now the customer solutions group is telling you a different thing. It was always the case. It was insane how this was happening. And I thought, why is this so pervasive? And it occurred to me that what was missing is leadership. There wasn't a single point of leadership. The leadership in these organizations tends to be delegated. So what they do is they have like a chief revenue officer and a chief marketing officer and a chief customer officer, right? And by specializing this, what they're doing is they're not delegating. What they're doing is they're creating complexity and they're creating a misalignment because everyone has a different perspective and they're not aligned. So I was thinking, well, this chief revenue officer, which by the way, I was a chief revenue officer a couple of times. So I was like, I know that in the best of worlds, a chief revenue officer really should be in charge of all that stuff because for the obvious reasons that, well, maybe not obvious reasons, but to me, they were obvious reasons. And so I realized, there's no place for CROs. There's no like CRO association. There's CMO associations. There's dozens of them. There's a dozens of CEO associations. There's certainly CFO associations. Why is it? Why is this role so sort of like, like this ugly step cousin, like no one cares about it, but it's so critically important. So I thought, I'm going to create that. So I started the CRO Collective with the mission to bring more precision to the definition of the role, train people to do the job appropriately, and also help companies become ready for a chief revenue officer so that when they bring one on, they get a successful appointment of that role, and they can extract the value from that role better than they are today.
Right. Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. I appreciate just the, you know, as you're seeing this throughout your career, you're seeing, you know, where you can see the gaps, right? And see where people fall down, see where companies fail. And I love that story. And I forgot, we share kind of a common start to our careers in that you were in newspapers. I was selling Yellow Pages advertising kind of way back when. And, you know, we would compete against the newspapers and, and all of that, you know, way back in the day, but we won't go there too much. But no, I really appreciate that because you have the perspective of working with different companies and working with those roles, but also being in those roles. And what I see from my perspective, particularly in a RevOps role, RevOps is kind of meant to do the same thing, right? Like cover the full customer buying journey. So when you are working with CROs trying to establish that, what I find is it starts with the structure of the organization. So where RevOps becomes dysfunctional, where they're struggling to work with marketing, is because it's the organization isn't structured in, you know, this kind of utopian way where the CRO would be responsible literally for revenue, which would be every part of the buying journey. So, you know, I'd love to understand, you know, when you work with companies or just, you know, for folks listening and everything, you know, how are you recommending they're really approaching that CRO, like from, you know, maybe you can give an example of like a, you know, startup and, you know, just kind of starting out, like when do you hire that role? Like, and what does it look like kind of in your perfect mind?
Yeah. So thanks. So there's a lot to this. It's a complicated thing because as you already articulated, there's a lot of confusion out there about the way companies should structure their leadership teams, particularly their revenue teams. Let's talk specifically about revenue teams for this point. Mm-hmm. This is really what we're talking about. But that particular segment of the business, which I say the most customer-facing part of your business, right? All the people, the salespeople, right? And so, you know, what we're trying to do here is have founders and CEOs think about this differently because what they all do, you talk to any founder, in their mind, they're thinking, oh, I got to get a CMO. When am I going to get my CMO? Mm-hmm. When am I going to get my CRO, right? It's just like sort of like this non-thinking, non-planned, I think, blueprint that's just been sort of handed down to everybody that people don't really think about the implications of it and what it's created over the last 25 years or so. So I'm sort of breaking that up for them. So my clients are usually, they have to be at the right stage. So I want to talk about that because it's a really important point. One of the problems is when you're, well, there's two questions. One is, why are you hiring a CRO? And then another one is, when are you hiring one? Okay. So, so my clients are optimal clients. Ones I work with are, you know, post like a maybe a A around, right? Or maybe even a B. They're at like 30 million or maybe at lowest end, like 15 million in revenues between that and maybe 100 or 20, 150 million in revenues, where they're still like consider themselves somewhat of a startup, but they have revenue and they have customers and they have a pretty good business. And they're at the point where the founder is like, you know, I think we need a CRO for whatever reason. There's a lot of reasons, by the way, why it is they come to that conclusion. We can get into that. And that's the point at which the problem starts because it could be that it's too soon. They shouldn't get one yet and they're misinformed and they think that this CRO person's going to solve problems for them that they can't. It's almost like buying like an F-150 or even an F-350, let's say, would be better. Like I get an F-350 and all I really need to do is go grocery shopping. You know, it's like, it's too soon. Unless I'm building a new house, I don't need that sort of vehicle, but I'm going to get one anyway, you know? And then you're like, you have this thing and you're not really using it the way it should be. And
you're
kind of
wonder. You're not towing a fifth wheel with it.
No, you're like, what? Okay, it's a great car, but, you know, I'm not hauling rocks, you know? And so, you know, you bought it too soon, you know? And maybe 2-5 years from now, when you build a new wing on your house, that truck would have might have been more appropriate. And I think that's part of it, right? The other part of it too is when, right? So it's when and why. So I think that you need to have what I call a certain level of operational complexity before you can bring a chief revenue officer in, because the chief revenue officer is there to solve chaos and complexity, not create more of it. And so, you know, if you bring a CRO in too soon, so that's the first thing. Second thing is why? What do you want them to do? So most of the time, founders want a CRO because they want someone who's more senior to run sales. That's usually the reason they do it. You know, we need sales growth, you know, we need sales maturity, right? We need executive leadership, overall sales organization. Those things are probably true, but why a CRO? Why chief revenue officer? Why not head of sales, right? So that's the question I ask them. And, you know, they don't really have a good answer for me, to be honest with you. That, like, no one's ever asked them that question, you know? And most of the time their answers to me are, well, I guess, don't CROs run sales? You know, no. And the other thing they do is they tell me things like, well, it's my investor group, my PE firm or the board, you know, they're recommending a CRO, you know? And I ask, well, why? What was the reason that they gave you? And most of the time it's like things like, it's time that we had a title like that, you know, in-house,
right.
You know, it sort of shows a superficial like patina of maturity.
Right.
Companies
well, that's
at
what
this
I was going
to
say. It's like a, like the title, you know,
it's
they're,
yeah. Yeah, it's like having a Tesla in your driveway, you know, basically, but it is.
Yeah, you know? It's the badge, but, you know, do you really, you know, really what do you need is a
what do you really need
that can work with the founder, you know?
Precisely. Like, what do you really need, right? And so this is the conversation I have with them. And I'm sort of, as you could hear, therapeutically, you know, disrupting them, you know, around their thinking because, you know, most of the time, you know, I'm not saying this is all the case because I don't want to insult anybody because most of these people are brilliant. But they're just not thinking about these things to the depth that they need to be because they're about to make decisions that are going to have implications that they're not thinking about. They're very head down. They're thinking about today. You know, companies of this size are very short-term thinkers because they're worried about next quarter. And that's actually the main problem, which we can get into. So what I'm doing with them is I'm letting them know that once we've determined that you do need a CRO, which I can help them figure out not pretty quickly. Second part is, are you ready for one? Doesn't mean you, just because you want one for the right reasons doesn't mean you should hire one because, you know, somewhat like a F-350, you kind of know how to drive it. You got to know how to park it. I mean, it's a complicated piece of equipment. It's not just like you just pull it in your driveway. You know, it's really like, holy shit, this thing is tough to drive, you know? And I don't know. It's like, oh my God, I didn't realize, you know, you see these guys driving around these things that use them for 20 years and they're really good with them and you get in and you're like, whoa, you know, it's the same thing. And if you don't
have
the
right-
Well,
they're going to cost three headcount
exactly.
on top of
it's
it.
Expensive,
and
crazy,
yeah, and then they're
right?
going to want to hire people when 100%. They come in.
Yes.
You know, they're
Thank
gonna
you.
Want to hire so RevOps.
You're bringing up all the great points here and it's the risk that comes with making this decision. That's really what I'm doing, if I be blunt with you. I'm helping them mitigate the risk that comes with bringing on somebody of this stature and significance and making sure that the investment pays off. And how's the investment pay off? The investment pays off by that person being a strategic leader, not someone who's just going to like run a channel for you. So the process to your question is we have a very in-depth sort of a very almost like McKinsey Bain like, you know, program that we run with our clients that's very specifically tailored to unpacking their entire revenue operations, all their metrics. We look at their CRM, we look at their stack, we look at their pipeline, we look at their compensation incentive plans, their profitability, their margins. We look at their ICP, everything. It's a very complex thing we do. We get all their data. And what we're doing is we're looking to see what's really going on, right? What's going on today with your business? Because you probably have, understandably, a superficial understanding of things because, you know, even though you're in the weeds every day, there's a lot of stuff you don't know because you don't have the time to look at it and analyze it. And many times you don't have the people in your company that have the skills to analyze it as well as they should. So we do that for them. And the results are usually really eye-opening. You know, we're like, wow, we didn't realize our ICP was all off, or it could be, you know, we could be really reaching out to different people, or our pipeline is completely mismanaged. Our CRM is completely not, you know, being utilized in the right way. Marketing is not really contributing to sales in the way that we thought it was. We really thought there was a connection, but we're seeing that the marketing and sales are completely not really on the same page. And we're wasting a lot of money on marketing that we're not working on. And our customers are churned because the customer success organization, X, Y, and Z, right? So that becomes a basis for the chief revenue officer remit, right? Now that we've determined that, then that becomes a plan to fix that. And that plan to fix that, which is a long-term thing, becomes the CRO's role. That's now the job of the chief revenue officer, is to build a revenue engine with enough intelligence with which to create that outcome. And you find the right person and the right seat with the right job and the right scope. And now all of a sudden we have a chief revenue officer with the right job, right? And the right goals and metrics. So that's what we do. So we work with clients. We've been working with like a dozen of them now in this, and it's been really amazingly successful. I'm really excited about how this is taking off. And you know, it's needed. And so that's essentially the process.
So when do you suggest, so let's say we have this CRO in place, and this is a real CRO, not a head of sales masquerading as a CRO, it's the right time in the organization. When do you recommend bringing in RevOps? Because, you know, what I'm seeing is investment companies are wanting to see that hire earlier with the market and everything, and being able to build out these scalable processes while, you know, CROs still engaging in sales and, you know, maybe hiring and these things. So when are you recommending, you know, this first RevOps hire coming in, and what does that look like in an earlier stage company?
Yeah, I love it. First of all, you know how aligned you and I are around the importance that RevOps plays.
Mm-hmm.
RevOps is a bit different. While I said before, I believe very strongly, and I'd, you know, die on a hill on this one, is that CROs really need to be hired at a more complex stage, but not RevOps. I think RevOps is an earlier hire. And the reason I think is, you know this better than me. There's RevOps is broken up into two sort of bifurcated buckets, right? I call it like the IT RevOps and the strategic RevOps, okay? So when you first bring on someone as a RevOps person, they become some more like a Salesforce integrator, you know, or a CRM manager, right? Or they're running like, you know, ops on the tools and the dashboards, which is all necessary. Like you need somebody to sort of set that stuff up. And it's a very, you know, Jira focused sort of job. You know, I get a ticket, you know, I do the thing. And, you know, it's hard for that person in that RevOps
Jira,
role.
You mean Jira? Are you saying
that
Jira?
That too, yeah. same okay. Damn thing. You know, it's like you get stuck in this thing because as soon as people know there's a help desk, that's everybody uses you for that.
Exactly.
And you can't elevate yourself to a strategic position when you've had that sort of thing. And so my proposal in this respect, and I don't know, you tell me, is that because you need that stuff, you need someone to set the stuff up because they know how to do it. But then, you know, that becomes your, let's say, your tactical RevOps layer. And then once those systems are set up, either you elevate that person to become the strategist and you hire somebody underneath them to be now the ticket holder, or you bring somebody above them to now run RevOps with the systems in place. So I see it as being something you should do from the beginning, because the way you set things up from day one in your systems is going to have a reflection on how you do it later. And you and I talk about this a lot. I know that's your whole thing here. So I think RevOps is something that the sooner, and when I say the sooner, I mean, you know, I can't do it the day you open the business, but as soon as you start getting customers and you have like a pipeline of some kind, you should have somebody who's giving you a window into how your systems and your tech should be developed so that you're building for the future, at least in your initial stages.
Right. And getting the right reports to tell the story and scalable. And one thing, so I agree with everything there. One thing I'll add to that is having, you know, like you said, the person who can build it, but also they can be grow up and be developed into that strategic leader. So it may be, kind of middle level experience person who can still, you know, grind out admin the systems, create the dashboards, tell the story, but then they can, you know, under the leadership of a CRO or somebody, CEO, kind of elevate up into that leadership role, more strategic leadership role. I think that's the ideal. I think it's hard to, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest hire to find.
Agreed.
But at a minimum, you know, there's obviously fractional opportunities. There's, you know, different paths, but I always say that too, the sooner the better. But let's kind of go to, you know, in a world like someone, you know, that may be at a company that, you know, they're in a RevOps role, they report to a CRO, you know, how do you suggest that dynamic work? Because, you know, in a more mid-stage or mature company where you have an established RevOps function, or you're establishing a RevOps function and you have a CRO organization, You know, how do you see that dynamic? Because I think some CROs are kind of told by investment companies, you need to hire RevOps, and then they don't know what the hell it is. Mm-hmm. And then, then others are really strategic about it and they want to bring in, you know, RevOps because they want to actually focus on revenue, sales, and not have to worry about, you know, pulling the reports themselves and getting the insights, right? So, because mm-hmm. I find there's two different types of CROs. There's CROs that are like, do it my way. This is my vision. This is my strategy. Go execute RevOps and mm-hmm. go just, you know, be my board deck person, you know, be my right hand. But then I also see more strategic and thought partner relationships with folks that I talk to, you know, because I talk to RevOps leaders all the time. Yep. And some of them, you know, they report to a CRO that's really a CSO. So they don't really care about, you know, what happens after the deal is sold. Or they don't have the same relationship. They're looked at as an administrative function. A lot of people I talk to are frustrated because they're like, I have ideas, but my CRO won't listen. So I guess just general thoughts on that. Like, you know, obviously, you know, I'm biased what I think the role should be, but, you know, how do you see that dynamic, you know, truly being optimal for a CRO?
Yeah, it's a great one. So you hit it on the head. A lot of it so much comes down to the profile of the chief revenue officer. So I think I'm trying to change this a bit. So let's talk about that because it all really stems from that point of view because you said it that way. And you're right, right? So it all depends upon the CRO's competencies and the CRO's sort of point of view and the sort of profile and also their understanding of RevOps. So I would say first off the bat, if anyone listening to this is looking to hire a CRO, if your CRO doesn't have really very clearly articulate the importance of and definition of a RevOps, then you shouldn't hire him because that's not a CRO. So CRO should know that answer. Like it should be something he could teach people, you know? So that's one thing. When I mean teach people, I want to make it clear. It doesn't mean he can do the job. It means he understands it.
Right.
Or she, I'm sorry. I'm being a bit...
Yeah, I wasn't going to
polite there. You know, but whatever, you know, the leader knows this role, right? And understands it and can articulate it. And that's one thing. So that's A. The second part is, okay, great. So I'm glad you've qualified yourself as knowing what RevOps is. Now tell me what your proposed relationship is to RevOps. That's one will say, well, you know, I really know what it's all about. I was a RevOps person for a while. And, you know, I just want someone to come in and I'm going to tell them what to do. And the other one will say, well, you know, I value the role and I really want to bring in somebody who brings their own kind of strategic knowledge so they can add more strategic value to my job. You know, that's the obviously better solution for the company. If you look at the business, it's going to be better in my view to hire a really good, strong senior level RevOps leader who has a strategic understanding of that particular aspect of the business and will bring that to the table. So then, you know, from an intelligence and a process perspective, technology, you know, all the stuff, that I know that there's someone at the table whom is a senior leader whom I can turn to and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? What's your point of view on this? And that it adds to the conversation as opposed to me saying, hey, I want you to do these things this way. I would say as a CEO or a founder, if I had a CRO who wanted that sort of oversight over the RevOps function, I'd want to make sure that that person had the ability to execute it on their own. And they're just telling somebody else how to do it because they're too busy, as opposed to, A, I don't know how to do it on my own, but I want to do it my way. That to me is like, well, hold on a second. Why should you do it your way if you can't do it yourself? Then you should have them do it their way, you know? So I think that it's really, it's a competency and a context thing, but you're correct. I think the optimal situation is you're bringing a senior, seasoned revenue operations strategist to your team. And they have a team. They have a team of people underneath that RevOps organization that manages these things. And that person is at the behest of the CRO, ostensibly saying, look, I'm going to fulfill on your goals, all your growth goals and revenue goals. And I'm going to execute against those things for you, but I'm going to be bringing an opinion to it. I have a point of view on these things and RevOps has implications in the way it's implemented. And I'm going to provide those perspectives to you. And I would say a good CRO would say, good, I want those perspectives.
Right.
So that's how I would view it as being the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that would be, I mean, that's the ideal way. Right. And I think as you know, somebody, you know, if you're in RevOps interviewing with a CRO, I think those are questions that you need to ask ahead of time, you know, because you could be signing up for something and then finding out when you get there, like, no, they just really wanted me to check a box and get the shit done they want to get done.
Yep.
Versus, you know, asking those questions and understanding the CRO. Cause like that relationship has to be like seriously Batman and Robin. I mean, I don't know that I like that analogy, but like, you know, it has to, in my opinion, it has to be like your BFF, like that role really has to be a partnership. When I see it working really well, and I'll talk about, prior CRO of mine, awesome guy. And, you know, he and I, you know, his thing was like, look, I have other stuff to worry about. I've got the macroeconomic environment to worry about. I've got the board to worry about. I've got to worry about if this, you know, $3 million deal is going to close. So I really want your strategic input and I want you to bring stuff to me. I might push back on you and say, you know, why do you want to do this? You know, in those things and have those productive discussions. But he really wanted me to bring him insights and tell him what the strategy should be.
Yeah, and it should be that way. I would think that if I was a RevOps person in this discussion, listening to this, if you're looking for a job as a RevOps leader and you have strategic chops, you should find a company and a boss who you know values that. And that you asked really good questions about. Talk to me a bit about the way that you view the relationship between your RevOps leader and you. How do you view the, what's the main thing you're looking for from them? And listen closely to the answer, right? I mean, if they say, yeah, you know, I really need somebody who's really good, executionally smart, can implement this, implement that. If you never hear them say something like, I want somebody that has a point of view and an opinion, I need you to help me drive the strategy, then you just got to know what you're getting yourself into. And if you don't do that homework, I don't have any sympathy for somebody who takes a job without doing that first. So you really have to know that you're the kind of role you want, the chops that you have, the way that you're capable of doing the role, and that the CRO you're working with respects and wants that type of person. If you don't get that sense, it's probably not going to happen and you'll be bored in 8 months and you go, get me the hell out of here. Yeah. I don't want to be a ticket holder. You know, I'm not interested in that. And that's what'll happen. So I think that's an important point.
Yeah, I really do. And I think, you know, especially as you advance in RevOps career and having that leader that, you know, will impact, and just like any job, really, Warren, and like, you know, any role people are taking, whoever your leader is, you know, if they're going to empower you and trust you and you want to be in that advisory role. And some people don't want to. They want to be a RevOps admin and they want to execute. And
yeah, there's plenty of people that want that job and they're good at it.
Yeah.
And you know, look, also, I don't want to diminish that. That's important. I know a lot of RevOps people who are amazing. Oh my God, they're amazing at this stuff. Like they're lifesavers for the company. So I don't want to, it's critical. You need somebody like that. But I think, as we already said, you need somebody like that to set the foundation. But long term, you're going to need a strategic direction in this area of the business. Right. And if that person can't ascend to that, then you need to bring in somebody who can.
Or that's
they might not want to. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That may not be in their you know, DNA. I mean, I have somebody that I know that worked for me for a time, and she's the most amazing admin you'll ever meet, but just no interest in, you know, managing people and dealing with people. She just wants to fix stuff and, you know, solve problems. And those are great. I mean, people to have on your team. So, so I think we're aligned, but I think just, you know, for people listening, it's just really important as you're making your career moves, you know, who you are reporting to, the dynamics of the organization. You know, you may want to go in there and they may be hiring you to teach them about RevOps because a lot of times, you know, companies just don't really know.
Yeah, that's right.
But when you read the job descriptions too, because a lot of those RevOps jobs are really sales ops jobs. And that's not a bad thing, but just understand, you know, the scope and responsibility and, you know, things like that. So,
But I want to ask you about that because, you know, sales ops and RevOps, you know, I know the difference. But, you know, because companies don't know the difference, they tend to want their RevOps people to focus mostly on the sales side of the business, mainly because that's the thing that they keep them up at night, right? That's they, all the attention goes to the sales channel.
Yeah.
And they ignore the way marketing and customer success works into an integrated thing. So, you know, I would say that in addition to asking the questions about strategy and execution, you should also find out how the company philosophy is around the way that they're going to build out their hierarchy in the RevOps organization. So if there's a CRO and a CMO and a CSO, just know what you're getting yourself into. You're going to get three different opinions a lot of the time, and you may be pushed into the sales organization a lot more because if they don't know what to do with you, that's the default place you always end up. And you're now you're a sales ops person.
You're the sales comp person. Yep. You're the sales person. And or it becomes like a smarketing role, right? You know, sales and marketing. You know, again, it goes back to, in my opinion, the structure of the organization. If the CRO isn't responsible, if you're a SaaS company, or I mean, any company that's building and going live and you have some sort of project management implementations, if that's not part of the CRO structure, that's you know, where it starts to break down. And then where does customer success live? Is there customer success? You know, how is that all connected? And then that kind of determines where the focus ends up being, right? I think companies have a responsibility to, you know, even if they have that, you know, you may have be a big enough company to have a chief marketing officer and have a chief revenue officer, and maybe even at some point have a chief, you know, a customer success, CCSO, whatever they call them.
Yeah, customer officer, you know, whatever it's called, yeah.
But then you have to look at, in my opinion, centralizing RevOps, because you need to be able to connect those.
You do. You absolutely need to have someone who sits in the center. And these are all so critical, the way you got to do this stuff. And again, this goes to my earlier point, which is, This would absolutely be a component of our CRO readiness program, which is, how are you setting up your revenue function, right? Are you just gonna like now get like a bunch of leaders, and you know, everyone has their own ops, you know, assistant or something like that? Or, you know, and if a CRO is hired properly, then the CRO will come in knowing this and they'll set it up that way. I'm in the middle of an engagement right now with a CRO whom from day one got the buy-in, and now he is building the organization correctly, and he can already see, you know, a year from now, how much easier it's going to be for him having been able to do it that way, as opposed to having to contend with a bunch of other C-suite leaders whom have their own, you know, it gets kind of crowded, and you know, humans are humans, and you know, if you remove complexity, it's easier. So that's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, great. I mean, this has been fun. I'm sure we can go on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to just, if you could leave our listeners with just some final thoughts and maybe tips if you're in revenue operations and, you know, working with your CRO, just anything you want to leave people with would be great.
Yeah, I will say, you know, vet your CRO in the instance that you're reporting to the CRO, you may not. Like, if you're reporting to the head of sales, then you're a sales ops person, right? I think these are important things. You got to kind of like know where your leadership is. And if they say you're reporting into a chief revenue officer, first thing I'd say is find out what that means to the company. Does that mean the CRO is a head of sales, or is the CRO really a CRO? Because that's going to have an impact on your job. If it turns out that the CRO is a head of sales, then you can guess that you're going to be probably just really a sales ops person, because that's who you're reporting to. And what'll happen, though, is you're going to be tapped by other people to help in other departments because you're there, and it's going to feel very fragmented. And I would want to know how you're going to manage that, you know. And if the answer is, well, have someone that supports the marketing people too, it's like, okay, great. So now I have a counterpart in another department with other systems. That I would say that's a disaster. And the other thing I would say is, if you get a CRO who really is one, like a really good CRO, I would say that then I would want to know, again, what's their perspective on that role and what role are you going to have? And I would say the more due diligence you do up front, the better off you're going to be.
Awesome. Well, Warren, this has been great. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining the podcast and RevOps Unboxed. And
thank you for having me.
Awesome. We will see you next time.
Thank you so much. Well, we'll be talking.
This has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. Until next time, keep unboxing.